let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Jeffrey Seelig is an award-winning author. His pen name is Gerard Placey. He's the author of the popular Codename Hidgen series, the NCX series, and the Daniel Marcos series, among others. Now, three of his books will be featured at the 2019 New York City Book Con: Codename Pigeon Book 1, Selection and Training; Codename Pigeon Book 2, that's Executive Security; and The Case for the Phantom Bullet, from the files of attorney Daniel Marcos. His most recent book is The Case of the Three Arrests. Jeffrey was born and raised in Colorado. After graduating high school, went into the U.S. Navy, started writing books while in Operation Desert Storm and Desert Shield. His first publishing began in 1999. He has both an associate's and bachelor's degree in science, specialized in criminal justice with honors, a certified private investigator. Jeffrey also completed a certified cryptozoology course. In addition to his many books, well, he's also written the lyrics for six songs. Author Jeffrey Seelig, his pen name Gerard Placey, joining us on This Week in America. Jeffrey, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be on the program with you, Rick.
So many outstanding books. I don't know where to start. You've written so many in your career, but let's start where this all began. I mentioned you were a soldier at Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm. That's when you started writing. Talk about that. Seems like sort of a strange time to be developing writing skills while working. How did that all come about?
Well, it all came about because when we went over there, we were at what was called flight quarters, where we were delivering supplies to other ships, because I was on a supply ship at that time. And we were there for like 14 hours at a time at flight quarters. So I had plenty of time to be able to start doing this stuff. So I started writing right as we got into the combat zone.
Where did these ideas for those first books come from? And we'll talk about the different series you've got, the great creation of characters in these series. What were your first ideas like? Where did these story ideas come from?
Well, basically, they came from most of my shipmates that I was with at the time. And then once I wrote a few of these little short stories, I didn't publish any of them originally. They were all unpublished works. And then I went back and started working them out and fleshing them out. And as I progressed through, I was able to get more and more books written and got them finally published.
Yeah, what was that like in 1999 when the books were published and you really went nonstop up until recently when you decided to stop writing and you're helping other authors now, and we'll talk about that. But what was that like when you first started publishing the books? And like I said, it was almost nonstop after that.
That's right. It sure was. I was doing everything as fast as I could get the ideas into my head. My first book, Los Angeles 2020, was published by iUniverse in December of 2010, because the major book publishers that I presented it to through a literary agent said that a terrorist attack in the United States would not happen.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
After that, I moved on. I was able to get my first book that I ever did get written and published, The Dark, republished through iUniverse as The Dark Second Edition, because when I submitted it to them as an out of print book, the publisher said, I need 30,000 words, and this is only 18,000. So I had to come up with 12,000 words more to add to it to make the minimum.
With us on the program is Jeffrey Seelig. His pen name is Gerard Clacy, C-L-A-C-Y. So many great series. Codename Pigeon books are out there, the series. Also, other series that he's done that we'll be talking about in the program today is the very popular series, NCX, talk about that here in a second, and then the Daniel Marcos series as well. Talk about writing a series, and from a reading standpoint, this is great because we really like these characters, and we know at the end of the book, chances are that character is going to be back in another storyline. Is that fun, creating characters and sustaining their popularity?
It is, but it's also a challenge because
yes.
Once you've established who the character is and what they're up to, then we got to go back through and figure out how many books can we write. In Codename Pigeon series, that was a very dear friend of mine that's on the cover of it by the name of Adrian Van Meter. He does look a lot like the Harry Potter kid, which was just ironic that he happened to look like that, but I used him as the character reference material.
Jeffrey Seelig, our guest on the program. Books available wherever books are sold, and Jeffrey's website It's Dion, D-I-O-N, dash, and, dash, Jeff.com, published works. We'll repeat that during the course of the program. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to Jeffrey's website and get information on the books. How long does it take you to write a book from the time you get an idea to where the book is finished and you're satisfied and it's published? How long a period is that?
It's usually about a year. It takes about 4 to 5 months to actually get it all written and then go back through. It takes about another 3 to 3.5 months to do all the editing on it and then finally get it to the publisher.
How do you work? Do you have a strict outline when you go into writing the book and follow the outline, or are you more impromptu when you decide maybe I'm going to go in this direction rather than the way I had planned?
I have done that in some of my books, but not all of them. I've tried to stay to the outline, because if you have the outline, it's really easy to be able to go through, put everything in that you want in the outline, and then just go back through and put in what I call the filler material.
Yes, it always seemed like once you've done the outline, that really gives you the structure, doesn't it? At that point, you go through and like you said, you fill in, but you've got everything beginning, middle, and end, and you can take us through the story. I want to go back and just talk about some of the top-selling books that you've had out there. You mentioned Los Angeles 2020, where the commercial publishers said, this could never happen, we don't want any part of this. Well, actually, we find out it can happen in the United States. This is terrorism, and you've got it so well laid out in the book. Where did this idea come from?
Believe it or not, that was one of the last books I wrote when I was in the military. I had no intentions on getting it published, but after I had a chance to go through and rework it and get it edited and a bunch of other things that went with it, I said, yes, let's get this to a publisher. And believe it or not, I got a little flyer at Barnes & Noble because I bought another book from an author that I really liked at the time. There was a little flyer in there, $99 will publish your book.
That's amazing. And that's how this whole thing, Los Angeles 2020, terrorism, the mention of the word elicits memories of the 20th century. You go through such a great story there. Is it Botan? Am I pronouncing that correctly? That's the threat, and this is really well thought out, and I'm sure research from you. You've got the San Andreas Fault that is part of this, holding Los Angeles. I mean, as you're going through that, you're thinking, wow, that's a little scary, but that could actually happen.
That's correct, and believe it or not, when I gave it to my publisher, there was no category that he could put it into, so he had to create a category at that time. Of course, he's changed it over to action adventure now, but at that time he had to create a category called specialty fiction, and that's where they put that.
That's just amazing. And as you're reading that, boy, it's so visual and it's so lifelike, and you see this as a television series, you see this as a motion picture. Has there been any talk to go back and do something with Los Angeles 2020 along those lines?
No, but as you can tell in my book writing from Los Angeles 2020 all the way through to the end to the case of the three arrests, my writing style is the Hollywood movie script format.
Yes.
The reason why I did that is because I know that some people's attention spans are not all that great. So I wanted to try to keep it nice. I tried to keep it moving right along, and I tried to keep it lively enough that they would want to, you know, just move to the next, to the next, to the next. However, in the unlikely event that you have to set my book down, all you have to do is just read the paragraph above. It's just like hitting pause on a DVD player.
You know, that's what makes it so user-friendly, reader-friendly. As you're reading through the book, first of all, you don't want to put it down. It doesn't take you an entire vacation to read it. You don't get caught up and you're thinking, okay, what's going on now? You lay it out there really very nicely for the reader. That book is Los Angeles 2020, one of Jeffrey's top-selling books. Another one, Spread Too Thin. Talk about that, because this is a very well-researched book as well, with, again, a very frightening premise in the book.
That's correct. I wrote that at the time and using some of my memories of having been in the U.S. Navy with that possibility that both Iraq and North Korea would come into possession of ICBM nuclear weapons. So I said, well, you know what, we might have to kind of put a stop to that. But at the time, we were downsizing. We were getting rid of a lot of stuff in the Navy in particular. President Clinton wanted to get rid of whole classes of ships, and it was just, we don't want this. We want to narrow everything all the way down to as, you know, narrowly as possible, because we wanted to use technology. Well, it's great to use that technology, but you're going to have the people to back up that technology.
The book is spread too thin. It could be, as the case with Los Angeles 2020, ripped from the headlines as a really relevant read. This is from the author. Actually, that's the pen name. Gerard Clasey is the author on that book, correct? In fact, ask you about that. Some of the books you've written under your name, other using the pen name. How did you come up with the pen name, and how do you decide who's going to get the royalty checks? Going to Gerard, or are you going to keep it?
Oh, I'll be able to keep it because I did have to sign some. I'm glad you asked that. I did have to sign some paperwork with my publisher that said it was me, so that it would go into my account. And, of course, we've got everything else all taken care of.
So you take care of Clasey very nicely, so and he's giving you power of attorney, so you can go ahead and do that. So that book is under the Clasey name. But you can find all these at Jeff's website, and you can get there by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And the third top-selling book that you have is The Case of the Three Arrests. This is part of the Daniel Marcos series, The Attorney. Talk about that. A fascinating character, and again, we get to see him play out with it with a number of scenarios here.
That's correct. In this case, it was the final book. It was my 25th book. So you'll notice the cover has got a silver tinge to it. I wrote that book, and it was at the time that the U.S. Supreme Court had not yet released its ruling on the Obergefell case. And what I did is I predicted what they would say in that case. And believe it or not, by the time the book was actually published, of course, by that time I could not go back and change anything in it. They had voted the way that I thought they would.
It's interesting, and that book is still available, and you can link on again by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. With us on the program is Jeffrey Cely, his pen name, Gerard Clasey, C-L-A-C-Y. Let's talk a little bit about the decision you made to stop publishing, to stop writing books in 2013. Why did you do that? How difficult of a decision was that?
Well, it was a difficult decision, but I had reached a point where I was like, you know, this is 25 books in 25 years, and I was looking at all the other things that I'd done in the past and said, you know what, this is probably it, unless somebody really makes it worth my while to write, because it is a very time-consuming to do that if you only can work on it, say, 1 or 2 hours out of a day, or maybe one day out of a week.
Are you coming back? Do you have ideas? You had so many great stories that you told. I would imagine, and I can understand the relief, okay, I don't have to do this now. But shutting off your mind where you're not sort of writing stories in your mind every day, are you going to be back? Do you have stories you want to tell?
Yes, I sure do, as a matter of fact.
And you're working on those now?
Yes, I am.
Great. So we may see you back with some. And I know you've devoted a lot of time to working with authors to help them get through the process that you went through in the early days as you were writing. What's it like out there now with this whole book thing changing and the e-books that'll sell for a couple of bucks and people, many claim they're not really reading anymore, bookstores are going out of business. What's the market like for an author out there now?
It's actually very, very good. When I first started with iUniverse, I was a ground floor author with them. They were a fledgling book publishing house out of originally Nebraska. And the major publishers said that they would never last because everybody wanted to have the hard copy through the major publisher like Bantam and Doubleday, Simon & Schuster, and others. And iUniverse looked at it and said, you've got to be kidding me. There's got to be a way to be able to get these books out here and get them done effectively and cheaply and be able to do it so that if you can't find it at the bookstore, you'll be able to order directly from the publisher. A lot of those larger publishers say if you want to order from us, you have to have a certain amount of them that you have to order, like 50 copies or 100 copies. Whereas my publisher said, you want one copy? Not a problem. It's on its way. You want 500? Not a problem. On its way. So that's where that has gone to, and it's now exploded into a huge industry now. And it's really nice because now you don't have to sit there and go, well, who's going to be possibly ghostwriting some of my stuff? How are they going to be doing the editing? Because the print-on-demand publishers like iUniverse and others allow you to be part of that whole process.
You know, and it's interesting, too, because as a first-time author, you don't have to buy like 5,000 books and have them in the garage trying to sell those when people, like you said, when people want a book, you can just print a book out for them.
That's right.
With us on the program is Jeffrey Seeling. His pen name is Jared Glacey. So many books, 25 you mentioned over the course of 25 years. You'll find those at his website, dion-and-jeff.com. Published works, books, of course, available wherever books are sold. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can log on directly. I mentioned in the beginning, and I think you're the first person that's ever been on the program who's a certified cryptozoologist. Talk about that. Exactly what is that? And you've got an interesting story to tell about doing a late-night radio show talking about that.
That's correct. Flamel College no longer offers that course. They do offer the electronic voice phenomenon investigator, UFO investigator, and paranormal investigator courses, but not cryptozoology to the best of my knowledge. That was kind of interesting. I started doing that because I had seen some interesting things in the news about Bigfoot and some large flying cryptids and other things from around the world. So I got interested in that course and took it, passed it, got my certificate. And then I got in touch with George Norrie, who's host Coast to Coast AM at night. His executive assistant, Tom Danheiser, nice guy, by the way, set me up for the 25th of July of 2012 to talk about cryptozoology so people could call into the radio program and we could have a little conversation. Ironically, that was the 35th anniversary of the Lawndale, Illinois incident with the only well-documented flying cryptid in the United States that actually tried to take a 10-year-old boy.
I mean, that's just amazing, the timing on doing that. We've got a couple minutes left of the program. You've got such a varied background. Mentioned the private investigator, mentioned the college degrees that you have. I'm assuming all of that really contributes to who you are as a writer. You've got this wealth of knowledge and interest out there that has to be a tremendous well to go to as you're telling stories.
That's correct. It sure is. And my minor in college was constitutional law. So that's how come some of my legal books are very well written and very good. In fact, on the NCX trilogy side, and Justice for All, Operation Capture Cyborg, and Double Legal Trouble were all based in the future. And I gave those copies of those books to a dear friend of mine who's an attorney here in Denver, Colorado. And he says, I really liked them. The courtroom stuff and everything, it's as real as it can get. So there's, he says, I really don't see that much of a change between now and the 22nd century in the courtrooms, except maybe you won't actually have to have the evidence there. It might, you know, be able to be like a 3D hologram or something on a screen.
It's amazing the foresight that you've had in writing, because a lot of these stories that we've talked about, I say ripped from the headlines. At the time you wrote them, they really weren't ripped from the headlines, were they? There was a little a level of prescience on your part to come up with these stories.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, Heart of Stone, I predicted that Bill Clinton, before he left office, would open up the strategic oil reserves, which he did in the late 1990s, and some other things that went through there. But yes, that's correct.
Just amazing, the writing that comes from Jeffrey Seeling. His pen name is Jared Clacey, C-L-A-C-Y. Off to New York, three of the books will be featured there. That's a very prestigious event. This is a major event. It's got to be fascinating having your books featured at an event like this. And once again, taking books that were written a few years ago and get people interested in them all over again.
Oh, that's correct. And if anybody wants copies of my books and can't find them at their bookstore, just send me an email with the address. I usually try to keep 5 to 10 copies on hand at all times.
That's perfect. And we will have the link for all of that at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Jeffrey's website is dion-and-jeff.com. In the published works, you've got all of the books there broken down by the series that we talked about, Codename Pigeon, the NCX series, and Daniel Marcos series, among other books available at the website. Jeffrey, it's been fun having you on the program. Just really great work. I'm glad to hear you're coming out of retirement. More stories to tell. We're waiting for you to tell us those stories. Thank you for being with us on the program.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure to be here.
Hopefully stay in touch and we can do this again, talking about the new book from Jeffrey Seeling, pen name Jared Clacey, C-L-A-C-Y. And again, all the information on Jeffrey's books you'll find by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can log on directly to Jeffrey's website. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.